Liam Gibson is from the anti-abortion group SPOC. Good morning to you, Liam.
Morning, Stephen.
So you've heard a discussion this morning. You've heard the health minister at the very top of government here in Northern Ireland saying that he is sympathetic towards Sarah's situation. He is going to review the guidelines. He is going to seek legal advice as to whether to clear up this grey area for medical staff who may promote or advocate abortion outside of Northern Ireland, where it is legal outside of Northern Ireland, but not inside Northern Ireland. Are you disappointed by that? Is that a flexibility that you object to?
I'm most disappointed with the BBC because I think the BBC has turned into a platform for abortion advocates. And you just heard Anne Faroudi and Katrina Ruan, who both are on the side of promoting abortion on demand. And Anne Faroudi makes no apology for aborting baby girls.
Well, that's factually inaccurate. Let me tell you why. Sinn Féin are opposed to the 67 Abortion Act coming to Northern Ireland. So that is factually inaccurate. And secondly, in terms of providing platforms, Liam, let me just nail this. In providing platforms, you are being given one now. So use it.
I'm being given a very modest platform to make this program look a tiny bit balanced whenever
that's your interpretation. Use it.
Now, Stephen, everybody has sympathy for the women who are in this position, especially Sarah's case is particularly tragic because she didn't get the proper support that she needed.
She feels she got total support in Northern Ireland.
The answer to tragic situations like this is perinatal hospice care. Now, I can understand that people think that this child who has no chance of a full life, that has a very life-limiting
child would die within hours.
Condition. Yes, and those children very often do die within hours of birth. But a perinatal hospice actually provides the opportunity for parents to be parents, to hold their child, to love them and to care for them. While they spend that short time with them, no matter how short their life is, they are still alive. And it's
no brain function, accurate. No skull.
Stephen, what do you want to provide the platform for me or do you want to just shut me down?
I'm not shouting.
Now, Stephen, a child with anencephaly is still a child, still a human being and still alive. It's not true to say that the child is dead, because if the child was dead, then it would simply deliver the dead baby the same way as hundreds of women have to be delivered of dead babies after miscarriages, which are equally tragic. And let's not forget that, pregnancy is a time of great joy, but it's also a time of great anxiety for women. And all women understand the fear and anticipation that something is going to happen to the child. And that happens sometimes even in a natural birth of a healthy child. It can be brain damaged or actually die as a result of the obstetric care and mistakes that can be made.
You see, what this comes down to, as you know, Liam, is this. You're entitled to your view this morning, and there will be people supporting your view this morning. Are you entitled to impose your view on that mother?
Stephen, human rights aren't decided by a popular vote. You have the same right to life as Sarah's child, or I do, or any child. Now, to say that children with a severe fetal abnormality have not got the same right to life is actually to pick and choose who has human rights and who doesn't. Now, the solution to actually caring for women in these distressing situations is actually providing help. And this case highlights the desperate need for perinatal hospice care in Northern Ireland. Now, that helps women and the whole family actually to come to terms with their grief and their loss. Abortion, it seems like a quick fix. It seems to get it over with. But actually, it doesn't provide the healing that perinatal hospice care does. It's impossible with abortion to have that.
So that I can be clear, Liam, in this case, I'm talking about this case because it has such profile now, okay? In this case of Sarah's, where she clearly, it was her clear choice that she could not cope with the delivery of that baby, are you saying she should have been forced to deliver that baby.
What I'm saying is that the fact that she says that she had no choice, that she could not cope, means that she was not getting the support that would allow her to cope. Now, I'm not being unsympathetic to women like Sarah. Actually, you're not helping them by giving them an abortion. One study, for instance, in the Netherlands, who looked at women in these situations, found that 4 months after the abortion, they showed 46% of them showed pathological levels of post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, the perinatal hospice care actually helps reduce that stress.
Well, hold on a minute. You quote. Damage. Hold on a moment. It's all relative, isn't it? So you quote that statistic. Of that percentage of people that showed pathological levels of distress disorder when someone had an abortion, correct?
Yes.
What is the percentage of people that displayed such a disorder who indeed did not have an abortion but delivered a child they did not want to?
The evidence of post-traumatic stress associated with a post-abortion experience is obvious, and it's there for everyone.
But
I'm not going to get into the facts and figures.
But I'm sorry. You presented the facts and figures.
Yes.
And so therefore, in order for that to be balanced, you've got to tell me what the percentage was for women who were forced to have a baby that they did not want.
Actually, women, even whenever they feel forced to have a baby that they don't want, actually show better recovery, better.
What's the percentage?
I don't have the percentage here, Stephen. So if you had a.
So you have the percentage that supports your view, but you don't have the percentage,
Stephen,
to provide context.
The point I'm trying to make is that you're pushing abortion as a solution to Sarah's problem.
I'm most certainly not.
It's not. It's not, because abortion is not a cure for a fatal disability.
Tell me this, Liam. Do you think the law should have prevented Sarah from travelling to London for an abortion?
I think that the law is actually unclear, but you seem to be focusing on the idea that we should be able to allow people to promote abortion.
Let's stick to the factual questions I'm asking.
No, Stephen,
do you think Sarah should have been prevented travelling to London?
You are using this case to actually promote abortion and a change in the law. Now, I dispute what you're trying to do, and I don't believe that the law needs to be changed at all. I think it needs to be implemented, and I think women need to be